Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Volunteer Country on Sports Illustrated podcast, coming at you on a Monday morning today, a beautiful Monday morning in Knoxville and at the beach, which is where I'm at. But I got my good friend on here today, Bryson Wright of SB Nation Grizzlies. We're going to talk some Kennedy Chandler today, is the main focus of today's pod, as he was drafted by the Memphis Grizzlies Thursday on during the NBA draft in the second round. KC kind of fell, Bryson. I want to get your thoughts just to kind of start off here. Were you surprised of how much KC fell?
Yes, I was surprised at how far he fell. I'm not surprised that he fell a little bit. I know that a lot of people thought that he could have gotten drafted around 22. That's where the Grizzlies had their first pick. They ended up trading out of it. But yeah, to fall to 38 was very surprising. I was expecting him to go probably around 27, 28, 29, somewhere in there. I thought he was going to be like near the end of the first round. But the NBA is weird with stuff like this.
Yeah,
it seems like it at times it's less about what you did in college, and sometimes it's just more about your size, your wingspan, which I think the wingspan would help Kennedy out. But I think the biggest thing was just because he's only 6 foot, and I think that was the main thing. And it seems like the NBA kind of gets scared of like shorter guards, and it's really confusing because there are some shorter guards that have turned out to be really good, like Cal Lowry, Trae Young, like guys like
Chris
that.
Paul. Yeah.
Yeah, of course, Chris Paul. But then it's also one of those things where it is easier to be good in the NBA if you're like 6'4", 6'5". And I think that's just kind of where the NBA has gone when it comes to drafting. But sometimes I do think that they take that into account a little bit too much, because I think that if you can play, you can play. And I think that's going to be a good thing for Kennedy. I do think it's going to motivate him to just be even better.
No, yeah, you could definitely tell by, you know, post-draft reactions from Chandler. You know, he has fuel now, so we'll see how that pans out. But I do want to note about the size thing. There were only four sub-6'1" guards who played at least 15 minutes per game in the NBA last season. So, you know, size matters, and that's definitely the biggest reason Chandler fell. But, you know, and we've talked about this a little bit, Bryson. Do you think if the Grizzlies kept their 29th pick, of course, all the trades that happened resulted in them not having it, do you think if they kept their 29th pick that Chandler would have been taken in the first round?
Yeah, so the way that I look at it as, well, because the Grizzlies GM, Zach Kleiman, kind of talked about it in the rookie press conference meeting, and they asked him about Kennedy, and he said, we actually were very high on Kennedy. We had him as a first-round grade, but we ended up going with Jake LaRavia and also David Roddy. They traded up to get him at 23. And then they thought they were going to be out. They were like, well, okay, we traded up to get 23. There's no way we're going to be able to get Kennedy now unless we trade back into the first round again, which wouldn't have made any sense for them to trade into the first round again.
Yeah.
But as he continued to fall, it's like, dude, if you can get Kennedy Chandler at 38, that's an absolute steal. And I think that's kind of where the Grizzlies were on it. Maybe if they had kept 29, he would have ended up getting drafted there. But like I said, I think it's all worked out the right way. Kennedy gets to go back home. He gets to be with one of his friends in Ja Morant. And I do think it's going to be very helpful for him to be in a good situation like this.
Yes. And I've had some people, you know, comment and express some confusion on Twitter or Facebook. I want to note that Kennedy Chandler did get drafted by the Spurs at 38, but with the way the NBA works, the Grizzlies got the draft rights for Chandler. They traded for those draft rights. So Chandler is a Grizzly. You know, he's not a Spur. So that's just how it works. And Ty Washington is not a Grizzly either. He's a Rocket, I believe. He went to Houston. So Chandler was the only point guard drafted by Memphis Grizzlies on draft night. And Bryson, let's get into why we're podcasting today. And that's how Kennedy Chandler is going to fit in with the Grizzlies. You're Mr. Memphis, of course, the Grizzlies expert. So how is the VFL going to fit in with Memphis?
Yeah, for sure. It is going to depend a little bit on what goes on with Tyus Jones. It seems like based on his free agency decision, I still think it could go either way. I think it is very possible that he comes back. But I think that either way, whether Tyus Jones comes back or not, it would still be a pretty solid situation for Kennedy Chandler. If Tyus doesn't come back, he would be the third point guard most likely, but I do think that he would still get a good amount of playing time, especially since we saw last season there were times where Ja missed time, there were times where Tyus missed time as well, and I think having that extra depth is really going to help the Grizzlies, especially because it felt like if Ja got hurt, they didn't have another point guard besides Tyus, and I think that was one of the reasons why they ended up going with Kennedy. But if Tyus doesn't come back, he's going to have a pretty big responsibility in terms of being the backup point guard on a team that is competing for a championship. We'll see if maybe they would sign somebody else, but I do think just having him there for depth, regardless of what happens to Tyus Jones' situation, would be great. And then if Tyus does decide to come back, I don't know if there's a better point guard that you would want your rookie to learn from, because you have the uber athletic superstar in Ja Morant, and then you have the guy who has led the NBA in assist to turnover ratio for the past 3 years and is also a little bit undersized like Kennedy. So it seems like I think Tyus could actually be really good for him if he decides to stay with the Grizzlies as well. But regardless, I just think it's going to be a good situation for him, regardless of if he's playing. Like you said, there's only so many to play 15 minutes a game. Even if he's not playing 15 minutes a game, even if he's only playing 12 minutes a game, and he just starts to get a few more minutes as the season goes on, I still think it's going to be a great situation for him. And I think that was one of the reasons why I was kind of hoping he would end up coming to the Grizzlies, as a guy who follows Tennessee sports as well as the Memphis Grizzlies, just because I think on both sides it would be great for the future of both the team and for Kennedy Chandler.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we could talk about scheme and all this with head coach Taylor Jenkins, but you know, how important is it for Chandler as an NBA rookie to come into a situation where he has that friend, where he has that mentor? Of course, he's already playing in his hometown, but to have a guy like Ja Morant and that connection that goes, you know, back at least a few years, how important is that for Chandler in year one?
Yeah, I think it's really important. I mean, when you see stuff like as soon as he got drafted, Ja Morant was on FaceTime with him. He had the whole family in the background. And I do think that's something very important, especially with this Grizzlies team. It seems like they're all really close with each other. Even when De'Anthony Melton ended up getting traded, which was part of their trade in order to get the 23rd overall pick, the entire team kind of rallied around him and was like, yeah, he's still our brother, even though he got traded. And I do think it's going to be the same way with Kennedy Chandler. They all rally around each other really well. All the guys on the Grizzlies seem to be like pretty close. Jaren has talked about how they all hang out outside of the games and stuff like that too. And I do think if you're with people that you know they believe in you, I think that helps a lot. And when the person who believes in you is an all-NBA player who is about to sign a contract worth almost $200 million, I think that does help you a little bit more as well.
Yeah, I mean, Chandler's got one of the, you know, fastest rising NBA stars right now in the game, right next to his, right by his side. So it's very encouraging the situation Chandler's going in. We saw a couple mocks, you know, we podcasted about it, Bryson, about how the possibility of Chandler going to Memphis and how that would work. Well, now it's here. And I think that, you know, if Chandler had his druthers, he would choose to go to the Grizzlies, and that's where he ended up despite the fall. So all worked out. You got to think. His mindset that night is just a roller coaster of emotions, that whole first round creeping into the second of he just keeps falling. And then he goes home and gets to play with Ja. So a great story that really wrote itself. And, you know, Bryson, we look at past VFLs. Of course, Grant Williams has carved out a great role with the Celtics. Tobias Harris is a stud. The Sixers has been for quite some time now. There's not really anybody else in the current NBA that was a VFL that's, you know, really reaching their potential, you could say, and especially the two from last year that were drafted in Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer. Keon's floated around with a couple of teams. Jaden went to the G League. I think he only played like two games with the Sixers total in last season. So how is Chandler going to be different? How is he, you know, going to be productive enough to keep grinding in the NBA week in, week out?
Well, the thing with Keon is he ended up getting traded like halfway through the season. But I actually did think that he played better once he got to the Trailblazers, so that's good for him. He definitely has a chance to contribute. And then with Jaden, it seems like he really never really got a chance. The one thing that you know about the Grizzlies is they give their young guys chances to play. You look at a guy like last year, Zaire Williams, a lot of people saw him as a project, and he ended up starting 30 games. So it's one of those things where you never really know what's going to happen, but Taylor Jenkins is not scared to play the young guys, especially when they have like high character and stuff like that, which I think is another reason why they ended up drafting Kennedy Chandler. The Grizzlies like to look at guys who are not only good on the court, but good off the court. And I think that is also going to help them going forward. But yeah, it's like, it's one of those things where I don't know if he's going to play 25 minutes a game or anything.
Well,
like
of course
that.
Not. Yeah.
Just being able to contribute on a good team like the Grizzlies is going to be helpful though. And there's a lot of guys that I think he can learn from on top of just like Ja Morant. And I think that's really going to be important for him in terms of not just playing on the court, but learning about all the things that come with the NBA. But yeah, it's going to be exciting to see what happens with Kennedy, but I do think he's going to be able to make more of an immediate impact than somebody like Jaden Springer could last year. And who knows, maybe we could see him make a Grant-like role where he might be coming off the bench for the Grizzlies when they're trying to compete for a championship. So I think that could be something that's really exciting as well.
Yeah. I don't think anybody should expect, 15 minutes per game. Probably somewhere, I don't know, Bryson, what do you think? Like in the 6 to 10 range, if he gets 6 to 10 minutes per game, I think that's a win in year one. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets like 10, 12 minutes a game, nothing crazy. And, if he can.
Yeah, it really just depends on their depth at point guard. If Tyus Jones is there or not, because if he's not, then Kenny Chandler's just going to see the floor more.
I mean, yeah, that's really what it's going to come down to. And that's one of the weird things about the NBA draft is it happens before free agency. So it kind of seems like Kennedy Chandler was like the insurance pick. Like if Tyus doesn't come back, at least we know that we have a good point guard that can be the backup. And then if we want to go out and sign somebody like a DeLon Wright, who is kind of like a lower key kind of point guard to bring in, and then he can be kind of the depth at point guard, and then we can have Kennedy as the backup as well. So I think that's kind of what the Grizzlies front office was thinking when they ended up drafting Kennedy.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see how Chandler fits in with the Grizzlies. Of course, it was the most exciting destination leading up to the draft from all most Tennessee fans, as Grizzlies are the Tennessee NBA team, and it happened. And Bryson, I just, kind of changing gears here to close it out. Of course, short podcast today, but talking about Tennessee basketball, just a little fun thing here. We got Chandler gone and Josiah and Santi are coming back. So lot to look forward to for the Tennessee basketball 2022-23 season. Just want to get your quick projected starting lineup, if you will, for game one for the Tennessee Volunteers.
Yeah, that's a good question. Obviously, you're going to see Santi and you're going to see Josiah definitely in the starting lineup. It's going to be interesting to see what they do on the inside, because there's a couple guys, because obviously Euros Plasvic started a lot of games, and also Olivier Combe was going to be coming back. I do think Julian Phillips is going to end up in the starting lineup, though, just because when you have a guy of his talent, it's going to be hard to keep him off the court. So let's go with Santiago Vescovi, Josiah James, Julian Phillips, Olivier Kamwa, and let's go Jonas Adu at center. Let's go two big men. I think that would be exciting.
So you're playing Santi at point?
I mean, yeah, I would at this point. I think that he's shown the ability to do it. He's shown that he has the ability to kind of run the offense like that. So I think that would be the best idea. Well, I guess you could bring Zakai and try to play both of them together, but it would be really interesting to see what they do with that.
Yeah, I think Tyreek Key may start at the one. It's his last
That's
season
another good option.
College play. I feel like he's going to be playing hard. He came here for a reason. I think we could see him start definitely early on in the season, since he's an experienced, point guard, of course.
I think the good thing is that they have a lot of options. And based on the matchup, they can change the starting lineup, which is something that some teams are like, we only have one starting five because unless somebody gets hurt because they don't have that depth. But I think it is going to be good for them that they have depth, and there's going to be a lot of competition for those starting five spots going into the beginning of the season.
No, there is going to be a lot of competition, and there's a lot to look forward to. But yeah, mine would be Key, Vescovi, James, Phillips, Plavšić. I think Adu and Ziegler still stay on the bench, kind of come off But yeah, it'll be fun as Kamal works his way back from injury. Who knows? He was really consistent for them last year, so I can definitely see him starting as well. But there's a lot to look forward to, and Tennessee basketball will start, you know, around November range. But first, it's football season, Bryson. So that's the hot topic on Rocky Top.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely excited for some Tennessee football this year, especially after last season. Obviously, with the whole referee thing in the bowl game, it didn't end the way that you wanted it to. But I do think that having Hendon Hooker pretty much solidified as a starting quarterback throughout all of fall camp and everything like that is going to help them a lot. There's not going to be any quarterback controversy going into the first week, which I do think is something that is a little bit underrated, because when you look at it last year, I think that if Hendon Hooker had started one of those first couple games, Tennessee probably could have got to 9 wins.
Yeah, definitely the Pitt game. I mean, that game was so tight, and with what Hooker did in the second half was really encouraging, wanting the job. So I think if he starts that whole game, Tennessee probably wins there at home. And it's a different season, but yeah, everything's exciting on Rocky Top this time of year. July's a slow month, but once it hits August, it's a train that doesn't stop until the end of baseball season. So that's just how Tennessee athletics goes. And obviously it's great to cover it. That's going to do it for this Monday edition of the Volunteer Country Honest Side Podcast. Bryson, thanks for coming on today.
Yep. Thank you. Always love coming on here, Jack.
Yeah, no problem. All right, and everybody will be back later on this week to talk some recruiting. Matt's been busy this past weekend. Of course, we had a couple of commitments. Tennessee had a couple of commitments, and you know the Francis stakes are ramping up as he will announce his commitment on July 4th. So everybody will get back to you later, but thanks for listening to this Monday edition. Hope you guys have a great rest of your Monday.